ask if you have your Bibles that you'll go again to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 6. Revelation, chapter number 6. A few weeks back, I started in this chapter, and we were dealing with the opening of the seals, and actually I only dealt with the first seal being opened, and did a lot of introductory thoughts to the chapter. And I want to read again, starting in the first verse, and read down through verse 8. And then we'll look at some things today. In Revelation chapter 6, in the first verse, says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it was the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and the conquered. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, in that they should heal one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of pallets is in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou her not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the peace of the earth." Excuse me, that is reading verses 1 through 8 in Revelation chapter number 6. I have tried to use as a title for this section on when the worst is yet to come. And I base that on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, in teaching the disciples. Jesus said, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, forever shall be. Jesus said that the time of the tribulation that was to come should never have there been that time like it before and ever that time again. As a matter of fact, Jesus went on in the verse following and said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Jesus was saying, those days of tribulation are only for a specific time. And if they weren't, they'll be so bad that none would survive it. And I want to remind you, before I proceed farther, that all of these things will happen after the rapture of the church. The church and you and I will not face the days of the tribulation. And I thank God for that. I rejoice in the fact that I'll not face the days that John is describing in the Word of God. And so we want to look again at these things. And the last time that we were talking about it, we were talking about how the seals were being opened. I remember talking about how the Lord and the Lamb of God had taken the book out of the hand that he had sat on the throne. And the book was like a scroll, sealed with seven seals. The wind was done as the first seal would be open. The section would be read. And then a second seal would be open. And more read. The third seal. And the fourth. And so on till the seven seals were open. I want to say that just as they're opened, describes a time of judgment on the earth. I realized today that these are not the kinds of things that people want to hear today. Paul told Timothy that in the last days that men would seek out teachers and preachers having itching ears. That phrase, itching ears, is the idea of something that tickles the ear. Something that satisfies an itch. And that's where we are today. People want to hear something that is good all the time. Tell us how well we're doing. Tell us how good things are going to come our way always. Tell us how we're going to increase in wealth. Tell us how our health is going to be good. Tell us those things. But I'm reminded, and even Brandon alluded to it, that we have to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. I'll be honest, I struggle with messages like this. Because I thank God I want to encourage and lift up. But I believe that even in this, I can give you some encouraging words as we proceed. In the first hill that we looked at last time, it is what we can call the rider of deception. Picture the hand of Christ as He comes. He saw His peaceful appearance, having a bow and no arrows. He saw His promising appearance, riding on a white horse, and a crown was given unto Him. They saw in the Antichrist somebody that is trying to rescue the world in those days. And we saw it in His powerful appearance, conquering and to conquer, how He will gain control of the world systems in that day. It amazes me how a man can rise out of seeming obscurity and become the world leader almost overnight. I'm not saying, so please don't say this is who the preacher thinks the Antichrist is. I'm just using it as an example. It wasn't long ago I couldn't have told you who the leader of Ukraine was for anything. A man in obscurity, Zelensky. But almost overnight, this man has become a worldwide sensation. He has had meetings over the internet of countries all over the world. Spoke to Congress. Spoke to them in France and England. Spoke to them in Canada. All over the world. In NATO in their meetings. Spoke and addressed NATO. Addressed the United Nations. I'm just saying, isn't it amazing how suddenly a man can rise from obscurity to that much power and notoriety? And it's going to happen in the days of the tribulation. Somebody is going to step on the scene, rise in power, and all the nations of the world are going to follow him. But we find the second seal. It says in the third verse, and he did open the second seal. I heard the second piece, hey, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. I find him this, the rider of destruction. I want you to notice the word another. Only the only time in the opening of these poor seals and the horses are you finding the word another. That word another links us to the first writer. It is one of the same but different. I believe the idea is that this is another picture of the Antichrist. As the first writer, he comes with a peaceful agenda. He comes indicating that he has the answers to world problems. Follow me, he says. I'll lead you and we'll get out of all the problems that the world is in. But right on the hills, we find the reality of the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is not a peaceful leader after all. And he is bent on destruction and killing. The word of being a red horse indicates that it is blood being shed. You see, under this rider, peace will end. People will be killed. And military power and authority will be in his hands. I remember Jesus teaching the disciples about those days. Said nation would rise in his nation. And kingdom against kingdom. There is going to come a time of worldwide conflicts and killing in those days. Do you realize that even right now, across our world, that there are wars and battles being fought in multiple places. We don't always hear them on the evening news like they describe in Ukraine. But there are battles being fought, people being killed all over the world. Omar Bradley, the general back in the days of World War II, said one time, ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. We know more about war than we know about peace. Or about killing than we know about living. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. He was right. People in our world know more about killing and death, destruction, then they know about living in peace. But what he's describing here isn't just governmental conflicts. Said in verse 4, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Happy it is, not just Haitians fighting against Haitians, but the idea is in the church home and the Holy Spirit home, and the Antichrist takes over, and the spirit of hatred of people killing one another will rise out of depraved hearts. I want to say we are living in a world that has gotten so deadly today. It amazes me how that every day I scan the news headlines, somebody was shot and killed here. Somebody was murdered there. Somebody just this week took a gun and killed several at a parade. Happened weeks ago in Texas. Happened weeks ago up north. People have no respect for life. Today, they'll kill young or old. They'll kill children and adults. They'll kill racially. They'll kill whoever. Can you imagine what it'll be like in the time after the church is told, Holy Spirit has departed? Can you imagine how horrible it'll be? People taking lives of one another in that day. But then notice, here is a third seal opened in verse 5. This would be called the rider of deprivation. It says, and he opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of palaces in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. As God sees the third horse, John says it was black in color. It is the idea of a time of famine on the earth. Says the rider had a pair of palaces in his hand. You realize there's gonna come a time that the Antichrist is going to control all the buying and the selling. I don't know all that the mark of the beast will involve, but there'll be a mark on the forehead, on the head, thank you. 10 pounds help to the business without the mark of the beast. And it's going to be controlled. That's the idea of the palaces in his hand. Controlling what is bought and sold. And he said he heard a voice that said, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. Wheat is paying up. A measure of wheat was about 2 pints. And it tells us that is the amount of wheat that would satisfy hunger for one day. And he said that it was the amount of for a penny. The word penny is the word denarius. Speaks of the day's pay. So he is telling us that it'll take the man's day's pay just to buy enough to feed himself, not counting his family. Barley was a cheaper grain, often for the animals or the very poor. And 3 measures of it could be bought for a penny. I want to tell you, it's hard to imagine that kind of hunger, that kind of famine. We live in a land of plenty. I guarantee you that we toss in our garbage cans things that people would love to have just for a little bit. I've read a statement just the other day that said by the year 2025, they estimate 1 million children will die monthly from hunger in our world. I want to tell you, that is right now. Can you imagine how bad it'll be in the days of the tribulation? But then he closed that verse and he said, see thou art not all in the wine. I know we've all heard the statement that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You see, the wealthy in that day will be the haves. But the majority of the world are the have-nots. They're going to suffer a time of great famine. He'll be on an unprecedented scale. Let me give you the last one and I'm done. In verse 7 and 8, John sees a fourth horse. He says, and when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. That word pale means a ghastly green color. It is the word in the Greek that indicates something that is died and decaying. John said his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. This is the writer of devastation. The writer is named death, and hell follows with him. It is the idea that in that day multitudes will die and their souls will be turned into hell. He said in that verse, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Power to kill a fourth part of the earth. Give you an idea. Right now, our world's population is almost 8 billion people worldwide. Almost. And if you take away 1/4, that would be almost 2 billion people. Somewhere around 1.75 billion people. I realize that when this happens, the church will be gone. I don't know how many that'll take out, but it'll still leave billions of people, no doubt. And a fourth of them will die under this fourth seal. He said they would kill with the sword and with hunger. We were told under the second seal that the Antichrist was given a mighty sword. And then under the third seal, famine would take place on the earth. But then he said, and with death. That is a word that means pestilence and disease. I was interested. And so I looked to find out. For 2 years we have dealt with COVID worldwide. As of July the 7th of this year, of somewhere between 6 to 7 million people worldwide have died from COVID-related disease and effects. 6 to 7 million in just a couple of years. I can't imagine the kinds of diseases that will be unleashed as part of the judgment of God in the days of tribulation. If these things happen now, what is it going to be then after the church is gone and the Spirit is gone? You say, preacher, why is God bringing judgment such as this on the world? Because the wicked have turned their nose up to God. then said, we don't want you. We don't want your son. We're not interested in your salvation. And we want nothing to do with you. And they have sinned away their day of grace. And God is going to judge the world because of that sin. I want to tell you, God has been long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come unto repentance. But He said, even in Noah's day, that My Spirit will not always strive with men. There's going to come a day that the last person is going to be saved. And the rapture will take place. And God will begin judgment for 7 years on this earth. There may be somebody that's thinking, preacher, you painted a horrible picture of those days. I don't know any other way to paint it. I don't know any other way to describe it. The Bible has made it plain of what those days are going to be. But we say, preacher, you said starting out, somewhere you could give us a little encouragement and a little hope. Keep in mind that when John wrote these words, John was writing to believers that were suffering and hurting. John himself was on the Isle of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Christians were being martyred and killed. Christians were suffering at the hands of Roman leaders. And John writes this and telling them, hey, there's coming a day that Christ is going to return and we'll gather around the throne of God. And God will judge the wicked, those that have killed the saints, those that have brought suffering on the saints, Satan who has tormented the saints down through the centuries. There's coming a day God will deal with it all, and we'll be at home with Jesus when it happens. That's my encouragement in this. Thank God we're going to be gone. Thank God we're not going to have to face the days of tribulation, because we're going to be at home with Jesus. I want to tell you, these things are real. John was describing days of judgment that are to come. But John is saying, and he says it at times, he'll break away throughout the book. He'll break away from the judgment and remind them that Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. That the Lord is in control of it all. That God is still on the throne. It's all in the hands of the Lord. Everything is according to His purpose and His plan. John reminds them of that. So I remind us in closing today, yes, these things are real. They're going to happen. That's why we don't need to be complacent. Be the light. Be the salt in the earth that God wants us to be. There are times that God will put people in our pathway that we can be a light for Him to them. I was sitting, me and Alice were somewhere in Hickory the other week, and we were sitting at a stoplight, and I was just sitting, she was driving, And I was just sitting on the passenger side, and cars were all around us waiting at the stoplight. And I just began to look at the cars and the people in them. Thought crossed my mind, I wonder if they're going to heaven or hell. I wonder if they know my Jesus. I looked at one here and I thought, you know, I wonder one of these days they're going to spend eternity somewhere. I looked at another car. You know, those things need to be a reality to us. Of course, I couldn't step out in the middle of traffic and try to do anything. But I could sure say a word of prayer and say, God, they may be lost. They may not know you. Somehow, would you touch their heart? Somehow, would you open their eyes and let them see Jesus and realize He's their only hope? You see, we can do that. We can pray for others. And we can be a light unto others and a witness unto others. Tell them about Jesus before it's too late. That's the message of my heart. That's what the Lord said to bring. I know those are dark passages, difficult things to ponder and think about. But I can rejoice in the fact that I'm one of His, that I'm saved, I'm part of His family. And by the grace of Almighty God, I'll be at home with Him when all those things take place on this earth, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand our feet. Brother Kevin, would you come around? And we'll sing a verse of the song. There may be somebody today, the Lord has spoken to your heart. There may even be somebody today that God has stirred a burden on your heart for somebody that you know. Maybe He has pricked your heart and spoken to your heart that you need to bow in an altar of prayer and ask God to touch them one more time. God, to save them by His grace. There is something on your heart you need. His altar's open while we sing a verse of a song.